Please turn in your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7.
What's the golden strand?
Oh, that's heaven's shores. It's like the beach.
Oh.
As you approach heaven, yeah. It's from all the gold dust kicked up by a shouting hallelujah in the city, flies through the air, lands by the heavenly shore. The crystal sea. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1. No, not verse 1, verse 7. We're in verse 1 last Sunday. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. This is a well-known passage to us Christians, especially if we've had good pastors who have preached on the subject of prayer. And to those of us who are looking for prayer promises, when life has driven us to our knees, we've hit the bottom of something, or we're at our wits' end where we can't figure a way out, and we come to these words in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." But mainly verses 7 through 11 we're going to look at this morning. Father, we ask your blessing now upon the reading of your word, the singing of your hymns, all the things that are done by people in our church to serve you. Ellen doing the books and taking care of those affairs, and Brother Philip keeping up the website and making sure the sermons get there and important links and important announcements. And Father, everything every person does here, we see Victor running around making coffee, opening the doors, doing so many other things. Like this morning when the neighbors threw their dog's poo-poo over into our parking lot, having to take care of that before we even got to church. Lord, all that's done to support the ministry and prayer and offerings, Lord, we know that you see it all. And if a cup of water will receive an eternal reward that's given in the name of Jesus, Lord, how much more shall all the folks here who do all the little things they do, including praying for me and praying for each other, loving you, reading their Bibles, seeking your face in prayer. Lord, it's such a blessing to be able to serve you. What a high honor it is to belong to you and to follow you, to talk to you, to learn from you. And yet, Heavenly Father, to think that you're going to reward us for all this, Lord, that's just much, much more than we could ever deserve. You're worthy of worship. You're worthy of being loved. You're worthy of being followed. Oh, we pray that you bless this word to our hearts now about prayer. In Jesus' sweet and holy name we pray. Amen. Prayer holds, of course, one of the highest places in the Word of God. Its importance fills the Scriptures all the way from Genesis to Revelation. The next to the last verse in Revelation is a prayer. It is, "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus." And then the last part of it is, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." The Psalms, the longest book in the Bible, 150 chapters, are practically one prayer after another prayer after another prayer put together with melody. Like in our songbooks, a lot of the songs we sing are actually prayers. "Jesus, keep me near the cross. They're a precious fountain." There's a lot of the songs in our songbooks are asking God or worshiping God or loving God in prayer. And so the Sermon on the Mount, it's no strange thing that the Lord Jesus directs our attention to the importance of prayer in all three chapters. Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6, remember we went through that, took a while to go through the Lord's pattern for prayer. It holds a, and then you come down to Matthew chapter 7, and we see what real prayer is. It's not just a part of worship or loving God or praising God or thanking God. Those can all be a part of prayer, but prayer is asking. Prayer is seeking. Prayer is knocking. It's importunate, because the word it says ask does not mean in the singular tense. It's in the perfect linear tense, which means ask and ask and ask and ask and ask. Seek and seek and seek and seek. Knock and knock and knock and knock. Don't quit. Keep praying. Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. Always pray. Don't lose heart. Just because the answer hasn't come yet, maybe God's working on you to be able to receive the answer to your prayer. Maybe, you know, God doesn't have to be talked into anything. He already knows what's right and what's wrong and when is the best time to answer your prayers. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus directed our attention in chapter 5 to making your prayers from the heart, not to be seen by others, but as it were, to go to your closet and let your Father know in secret, and your Father will reward you openly. It's not vain repetitions in chapter 5, remember? Jesus says, don't just say prayers. So many times we sit at our meals and we're in the habit of just saying a prayer, then stuffing the food in, and we haven't really meant anything. It's just a habit. It's the same words over and over again. And then we put the little tag on at the end, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, sometimes we're eating something that Jesus wouldn't eat if he was in our shoes. So the thing is that real prayer is real conversation with God, and it is asking. It is seeking his face. It is knocking on heaven's door. Man once asked this pastor, he said, well, how do you know God is real? He said, I've knocked on heaven's door, asking him for something that nobody else knew I needed. And so many times he opened the door and gave me exactly what I needed, what I asked for. What makes prayer so vital? Not only in the scripture, I'm talking about what makes prayer so vital in your life. Why is it so important to you? You know, I know a pastor, he's a wonderful pastor, a godly pastor. He when he studies for his sermons, he looks at the Greek. And if he's in the New Testament, he looks up the syntax, the tense, everything. He knows the Greek. He knows this, and he studies it very hard. And then he looks for illustrations. You know, they have these big books of illustrations. So he'll look for those. And the sermon that you'll hear, he writes out. It's 9 pages long. And then he'll have that published later, you know. He'll do that. I've known him for years. We used to preach for each other. And everything's correct about it. But he had one fault. And to me, that was the biggest one. He didn't seem to find time to pray over what he was going to preach. He found his time to pray for God to bless it before he preached it, but not for God to bless him while he prepared it. He thought that was all his work. Well, we need to realize we need prayer in everything. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And, you know, I've said this to ladies before, but I go shopping, too, at the grocery store. I want the best deal on the best tasting peanut butter I can get. It's usually not the most expensive that I get. Well, it never is when I'm shopping. But I ask God to direct me what's the best deal. And I'm so glad when they have those little markers on the products to tell you how much it is an ounce or how much it is a deal. And I'm always looking for those. And so to ask God to direct you, to lead you in everything. When you sit at the breakfast table, ask the Holy Spirit to sit with you. When you get home from work, you're starting to rest in your chair. You don't have to ask God to show you what the mainstream media is saying is true or not. Most of the time it's not. But to say, just sit there quietly and say, Lord Jesus, you have the best chair. I'll sit here. And we can fellowship with each other. And just start to pray and you know, not just communicate about everything and anything, but tell him what you need. Tell him what you want. And I hope a lot of it's a closer walk with Him and more love for Him, like we prayed this morning, sang in prayer this morning, more love to Thee, O Christ. What makes prayer so vital? Sincere prayer makes your relationship to God deeper, more personal. It makes it a daily experience of Him, His presence, and His goodness. It is called in the Bible, in Genesis, it's called walking with God. What do you think the Bible means when it says, and Enoch walked with God? Well, when you walk with somebody, you communicate. You're headed to the same place together. You share the same goal. You're in agreement with each other. And so Enoch was a man of prayer. He was walking with God in prayer. He was talking with God in prayer. He was communicating his heart to the Lord and asking God, which way should I go? What should I say? What decision should I make? What's the best way to deal with this problem? Prayer is God's way for you to get His good blessings. As you walk with Him and you love Him, He delights. He longs to answer prayer. You know, the Bible is filled with so many prayer promises. It's like God is saying, what do I have to say to bribe you or to get you to wake up and come talk to me? If you ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened. Whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, that shall you receive. Ask of me, and I will give you the heathen for your inheritance. Call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things you do not know. So many times God comes to us with prayer promises all throughout the Old and New Testament, especially the book of Psalms and especially the New Testament. And it's almost like He's trying to say, here's some rich food. Here's some delicious stuff. Here's some wonderful gifts you should have. Why don't you ask me for them? Why don't you knock on my door? Let me open it for you. Why don't you seek so that you can find what you're looking for? Prayer is crucial also because you are a soldier in enemy territory. This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon us from heaven's golden shore. And if you're truly born again, you don't feel like you're at home in this world anymore. A world that abuses and blasphemes the name of your Savior. A world that makes fun of you because you belong to Christ. A world that is killing people because they believe, just like you do, every day around the world. You know, 12 Christians on average in countries, hundreds every day, but 12 Christians are murdered in Saudi Arabia, average every day. 12 Christians are murdered, average every day in Egypt. 12 Christians are murdered every day in Indonesia. 12 Christians are murdered sometimes in some places in the Philippines where the communists have a stronghold. They'll find out where the missionaries are, and when they can't get a ransom from the United States, they kill them. Or they kill them while the ransom's on its way. Talk about all these places. Mexico used to kill Christians. Yeah, they still do now and again. The Catholics will pay for a successful Christian pastor who's seeing people saved in this parish that a Catholic priest is head over. And they'll just go ahead. If they can't tempt him into sin, get rid of him, they'll kill him. If the trick of the old serpent won't work, then the great red dragon will do his part. Prayer is crucial because you are a soldier in enemy territory. You're daily surrounded by traps. People will try to set traps. The devil will use them. You have enemies who hate your Savior. You have Satan himself who has many thousands of years of experience. You have dangers without number all around you. Prayer is your walkie-talkie. It's your radio to communicate with the commander-in-chief. It's your radio to get in touch with the great general, the great captain of our salvation, that he would give you the power, the strength, the wisdom, the reinforcements to help you as his warrior to overcome those who are your enemies, basically because they're his enemies. Demons tremble before a praying Christian. Show me the weakest or the most baby Christian in the world. And once he begins to pray, once she begins to pray, the demon that's trying to trip him up in their life, or several demons, they begin to tremble. Why? because they're getting plugged into the power that created all things out of nothing. They're getting in touch with the power who says, with me, all things are possible. They're getting in touch with him who is able to keep, to show, to destroy the works of the devil. They tremble when they see the weakest Christian on their knees. What makes prayer so vital to your life? Because prayer is one of the most vital parts of the gospel ministry. In Acts chapter 6, it might be Acts chapter 4, these people were starting to complain in the church because the disciples weren't getting around to deliver this one food or to take this one to the doctor or whatever. And so the disciples, the apostles said, we need to point out deacons in the church, men filled with the Holy Spirit who help deal with all these other issues. And then we ourselves will give ourselves to what is it called? The ministry of the Word of God and prayer. That was the effectiveness of the apostles' ministry that set the world on fire and saw thousands of people saved on a regular basis, especially after Pentecost and then the next few days. But they were scattered throughout the world, and the church started growing. The Bible says God multiplied them. At first it said God added to the church such as were being saved. Then later on in the book of Acts it says, and the disciples were multiplied. That's exponentially. And it's because they were given themselves to the ministry of the Word of God and prayer. Prayer is still one of the great works of the Lord Jesus. He is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession. Prayer is vital, and Jesus does it all the time. The Bible says he's living right now making intercession for his people. If you were going to see somebody that kind of made you nervous, maybe it was a boss that called you into his office and you're waiting to talk to the boss, what if you knew that in the very next room was the bigger boss? His name is Boss Jesus, King Jesus, Lord Jesus, and he's praying for you. Would that help you not be nervous? Help me. Help me to be bold. Jesus shows us, you know, how important prayer is. Listen to these verses. In the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, Jesus went out and departed to a solitary place. And there he prayed. Another place tells us, Jesus went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Now, Jesus, who never sinned and could never sin, Jesus, if he needed to pray, if he prayed so much, how much more do we, who are sinful creatures, given to temptation, given to saying things we shouldn't say, thinking things we shouldn't think, doing things we shouldn't do, how much more do we need to pray? Amen. Prayer is mentioned in the life of Christ in the Gospels 20 plus times where it tells us Jesus prayed. One of the times it shows us he prayed was at the Lord's Supper, right? And he prayed for thanksgiving for God to bless the bread and the cup and so on. Another reason prayer is so important for you is because that's how you obtain grace and mercy. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Prayer is the way Jesus gives you heavenly joyfulness. And this is said more than once in the Bible as well, where Jesus connected joy to prayer. And he said to the disciples in John, ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Amen. In his presence is fullness of joy. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Prayer is the remedy from all worries and the way to experience the supernatural peace of God. So many verses we could quote here, but I like this one for such a time as this. Be anxious for nothing. In other words, don't worry about anything. That word anxious connected to anxiety. Don't stress. Don't worry. Remember we talked about that a couple Sundays ago. Worry is sin. And so the Bible tells you, Be anxious, don't worry about anything. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And you know, Psalm 23 was a wonderful prayer to bring David peace. When he was facing the valley of the shadow of death, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack." And talked about God's being in control of everything. And he is. So be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. And prayer is the way, the best way, to bring you the remedy from all the things that stress you. Prayer is the way you obtain the power of the Holy Spirit. Here we see where Jesus said, "If you then, being evil," verse 11, "know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" Well, Jesus in the book of Luke, he said this again. It wasn't a Sermon on the Mount like we are in here. Jesus just teaching about prayer. He says, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children," Luke 11:13, "how much more will your Father who is in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" And believe me, every time before I come and preach, every time I come and study the Word, every time I'm preparing for the sermon and I'm going over my notes, I ask the Holy Spirit to help me. I really do, because I can't do it. Sometimes you'll come up, some of you will come up and you'll say, "Oh, Brother Ross, that was a good message." In other words, you're saying, "I was blessed. That was not only informative, it was good for my walk with God." Do you think that comes from me? It's not by my might nor by my power, but by the Holy Spirit. Only He can speak. Only He can make Jesus real to you. Only He can inspire you to pray. I'm completely dependent on Him to be a blessing in church and anywhere with anybody. If I'm a blessing to you, that's Christ in me. Because if you had known me before Jesus came into my heart, I was a wicked little snake in the grass. I'd just as soon bite you as to look at you. Somebody say, "Well, where would you be without Jesus?" I'd say I'd be in jail, getting ready to go to hell, or I'd be in hell already. I was a mean rascal. I was in my first gang when I was in the third grade. Can you believe that? I was running with the little brothers of Los Camoncheros in Rubido. Back then, Rubido wasn't as nice as it is today. Yeah, we knew how to make zip guns out of tire gauges. You know, the air pressure and tire gauge? We knew how to make little and shoot little 22 bullets out of those things. And we did. It was bad news. You think it's racism is bad now? You should have seen it then. We had more racist cops back then that were taking off more minorities back then. And when those minorities went to school, who'd they take it out on? The white kids. Right? So the thing is, things were a lot rougher back then. You wouldn't want to know me back then. If you didn't have anything for me that I wanted, you weren't even a part of my life. I didn't even know you. Didn't even care about you. Unless you were going to give me something. But when Jesus saved me, He dumped over the honey bucket of compassion and kindness and concern and sympathy for others in my heart. And it's been dripping off my spiritual ribcage ever since. He put the silver bells of His salvation like a string across my heart. And it's been tugging at both ends, making the gospel sound ever since then. You know, Brother Phillips, it's been since 1980 when Jesus saved me. I still haven't caught up to the miracle of what He did in my life. It amazes me still to this day, the change He made in what I love and what I hate. See, before He saved me, if I saw a gospel church up ahead, I'd cross the other side of the street lest one of those church nuts come out and try to tell me about Jesus and how I'm going to hell and need to go to heaven. Right? The way I looked at life was completely different. What I wanted out of life was completely different. You know, people running around with Christ are the most unsatisfied, unfulfilled, pitiful people in the world. You know why they're on drugs? They're trying to fill a place in their heart that only Jesus can take. Well, if I just get high, or if I drink a little bit more, then I'll feel satisfied. No, you won't. You'll just feel more empty. Not only that, you're going to need more the next time you have that feeling. And more, then you'll feel more empty. And it'll take more from you. You know, the first drink you take alcohol is that first drink. Everyone after that, it's the alcohol drinking from you, taking away your life, taking away the joy that you could have if you were looking to Jesus, if you were following Him, if you were loving others the way He told you to. So prayer is so important. You know, people get addicted to sex. Same thing. Yep, I said it. They think if they have that guy or they have that girl, then they'll be happy. They'll be fulfilled. They'll be satisfied. What you're going to find out is that anything without the Lord's blessings, without Jesus at the heart of it, is only going to leave you disappointed. If you're looking at a person to meet that God-shaped vacuum in your soul, not going to happen unless that person is Christ. And so prayer is so important because it does bring us this heavenly joyfulness. Prayer is also the way for you to obtain, as we were talking about a moment, and I chased a rabbit. It's the way for you to obtain the power of the Holy Spirit. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? The Spirit gives you power when witnessing about Christ. He gives you power to grow spiritually. He gives you power to resist temptation. He gives you the power to do God's will and the courage to do God's will. As the Scripture says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. What makes prayer so vital for your life? That's a good point. And of course, you can always go to our website where Brother Philip puts up the sermons on our website and hear these points again if you want to go over them or make notes. Secondly, when should you pray? When should you pray? All the time. How many of you, since Jesus came into your hearts, have found yourself praying the first thing you get up in the morning? You wake up and say, thank you, Lord, for another day. I don't feel good. I don't feel like getting out of bed. But I ask you for your grace and mercy. Lord, thank you that I have life. Thank you that I'm not in the hospital. Thank you that I'm not in Afghanistan trying to chase around a bunch of towel heads. Thank you that I can get out of bed. Thank you that I have a job. Thank you that I have a purpose. And my main purpose is to glorify you, whether I eat or drink or whatsoever I do, to glorify you. Thank you that I have a purpose that gets me up out of bed in the morning. Lord, you can begin to pray where, you know, Lord, help me to go those places where you would go if you were in my shoes. Help me to say the things that you would say if my mouth was yours. Lord, help me to see things the way you see things, and so on. When should you pray? In the morning, before the business of the day. Make time to pray. Jesus woke up early in the morning, as we can see, a great while before day. Got away from the hustle and bustle of everybody and prayed. He would pray all night. Abraham rose early in the morning to pray. The Bible says about all these characters, they rose early to spend time with God. Joshua, Job, Moses, David, and Daniel all rose early enough to seek God's face in prayer, in solitary, in quiet. In the 1st of May of every year, the very first day of May, the communists used to love that day called May Day. They would trot out all their weaponry and stuff and their foolishness. But in England, long before there was the Soviet Union, the 1st of May, for thousands of years, the English people wake up early in the morning while the dew is still on the grass and on the bushes. And they'll rise up early and all the English people will go out and get their hands full of the dew and wash their face with it. Why is that? Because they believe it makes them more radiant, more beautiful. It makes their skin fresher. It makes them to glow if you go out the first day of May and put the dew on your face. Well, that may or may not work. I've seen some pretty ugly English people. Didn't look that fresh. Some of them because they lived a rough life playing soccer and hardly had a tooth in their head. But the thing is that if prayer will do that for you. If you get up early in the morning to pray and you give your heart afresh and anew to love Jesus more, to serve Him better, to be more faithful, to walk in His grace and strength, there'll be a beauty about you, a spiritual beauty that nothing else can give. So pray in the morning. Pray at midday for needed strength and wisdom. Scripture again tells us these people prayed in the middle of the day. Jesus, David, Daniel, Peter, and John all made time for prayer in the afternoon. If they give you a 45-minute break at work for lunch, take at least 15 minutes of that to get alone and pray. Eat real quick, go somewhere, and get alone to pray. At night, you pray that God would bless the work you did that day, forgive you for your many failings, forgive you for your many sins, and help you to do better the next day. When should you pray? Aurora said it. She said, always. The Bible says these are commands about prayer. Continually. Continue constant in prayer, the Bible says. The Bible says pray always. The Bible says pray without ceasing. During the Civil War, a Confederate soldier was found in the woods near the Union lines. The Confederate soldier brought him, said, this man needs to be court-martialed. He's been talking to the enemy. I heard him out in the woods talking to somebody, and I went over, and there he was. The captain said, boy, is this true, soldier? Soldier said, I was praying to Jesus. The captain said, pray right now. The young soldier said, Heavenly Father, I love you so much. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to die for my sins. Help me to love him more, to serve him better, to follow him more closely, to tell others about him. Make me a witness. And Lord, we pray that you'd watch over our men, our soldiers. You'd keep us safe. Lord, I pray that the war would be ended soon and we'd all be able to go back home. But Lord, in the meantime, watch over our captains, our leaders, our soldiers, Lord. You know we need you so much. It's that the battle is not to the swift and the strong. The battle is by your grace. For you can save by many or by few. The captain told him, go ahead and stop. He said, this man wasn't talking to the enemy. This man was talking to God. How do you know? The captain said, if he had not done so much in practice, he wouldn't have been able to do so well at drill and inspection. So he knew he was praying to the Lord. Amen. Amen. Because he was warmed up, on fire for God, knew how to talk to God, mm-hmm. Told God his heart, not just some words in a liturgy somewhere. So praying is so important. Keeps us close to God, a deeper relationship. A way to get things is from God, good things, is an answer to prayer. Quickly now, the lessons from Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 11. Prayer is, and it spells it out here for us, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened. What are the first letters of those three words? Ask, seek, knock. Ask. True prayer is real asking. Therefore, the answer to prayer is receiving, finding, heaven's door being opened to us. So prayer is asking. The answer to prayer is receiving, finding, and having God's door opened for you. It's understood, though, that when you come to pray, if you're praying for somebody to love you, you're praying about somebody else's heart. It may not be God's will for them to make you love you. I remember dealing with young people when I was a youth pastor for years. Well, I'm praying that Susie will fall in love with me. I just adore her so much. I don't think I can live without her. Well, the Bible never says if you ask for somebody to love you, they're going to love you. What your job is to get closer to Jesus, and maybe if you get closer to Jesus, become more like him, she couldn't help but love you. Do your part and see what God will do in your heart and life. And so it's understood you're asking for something good. That's according to the scriptures. That you will please or glorify God and be a blessing to him. You'll thank him for it if he gives it to you. Or that if you know, Lord, if my wanter is wrong, if I'm praying for the wrong thing, please teach me how to pray. The Bible promises you that if you ask in faith, believing, if you ask in Jesus' name, if you delight in the Lord and abide in him, you will pray aright and God will answer your prayers. So the key to it all is to keep on praying. I read John R. Rice's book, thick book, Prayers, Asking, and Receiving. And I read R.A. Torrey's book, How to Pray. That is a wonderful, wonderful book if you ever get a chance to find that. It's been in paperback. It's a couple hundred years old now. But it's How to Pray by R.A. Torrey. Both of those books end in the same way. And that is, you know, it said how to pray for those who are sick, how to pray for, how to repent when you pray and so on. It's all these chapters. But it comes down to one thing. Just pray. Just pray. And keep on praying. Fill your life with walking with God, talking with God about everything. You know, they say that the average American woman speaks 3,000 to 5,000 more words a day than a man. Do you know that's how they deal with the stress in their life? That's how they deal with problems and things. They communicate. Relationships are very important. I've met some men that have put women to shame when it comes to talking sometimes. I might be one of them up here behind this pulpit preaching right now. But the thing is that, you know, while sharing with your mother, sharing with your sister, sharing with your best friend, maybe your best brother, your dad, those can be very helpful. There's one place where there's perfect love. Infinite love. How would you say? Unconditional love. And he delights to hear and answer prayer. And so, the answer to prayer is receiving, finding, heaven being open to you. God loves to answer prayer even more. He says here in his word over and over, he loves to answer prayer even more than a loving father or mother delights to give good things to their children. If you then, being evil, sinful, wicked, know how to give good things to your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? And then lastly, we close. Maybe even for somebody that'll hear this message on the internet. Do you need forgiveness and eternal life? That's an answer to prayer. If you pray, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. It's through prayer you ask the Lord to give you his forgiveness through the sacrifice of his Son. Do you need forgiveness and eternal life? The Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Once again, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. That is the greatest prayer and the greatest answer to prayer of all. To say as you come to God, Lord, I'm a sinner. Father, I've sinned so much in my life, I don't deserve the gift of your Son. In fact, Lord, I deserve to go to hell. I've sinned against you so bad, I'm so ashamed. But you sent your Son to die for me. You sent your only begotten Son, Jesus, to take my place at the cross. I ask you, God, to save me. for Jesus to save me, to wash away my sins. I believe that you love sinners. I believe you love me. Please save me. Please forgive me. Be my Father. For wash away all my sins and make me yours forever. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.